This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday Night Recap Show of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm Dan Harris. I'm here with Pat Fitzmaurice. I'm sure everyone listening to this already knows the horrible news that Mike Tagliere passed away on Friday night. We are all devastated here, as I'm sure is everyone listening to this. It seems strange. I will be honest. It seems strange to be doing a fantasy football podcast at this moment, but Fitz and I discussed it, and not only do we feel that you guys deserve it and just deserve to have your you know, the same thing go on as we usually do, but it's also what Tags would have wanted, for sure. Now, we're not live streaming this just because, you know, doing it today just didn't feel exactly right, but it will be on video if you want to check it out over at youtube.com/fantasypros. Pat, Joe Yates and I did a very brief podcast yesterday just giving our quick thoughts. You weren't available, of course. I know you have your own podcast, which we'll be doing tomorrow, and we'll go into detail on our thoughts on Tags and everything like that. But if you want to say anything now before we get started, please go ahead and do so.
Yeah, I'm glad you agreed to join me for my podcast tomorrow, Dan. That's going to be entirely about Tags, and I'll say a lot more there. So I hope people will check that out. But Tags is just one of the most genuine people I've ever met. I mean, he was amazing company, and, you know, prayers for his family, for his wife, Tabby, his kids, Alyssa and John. Just crushing, man.
Yeah, there really are no words. Again, Pat and I are going to do the entire podcast tomorrow on that. So if you want to hear more about our detailed feelings just on Tags, and I'm sure we both have great stories, that'll be good to share with everybody, we will. But in the meantime, there was a lot of football today, so let's get to it. Before we do, I'll remind you guys, we're giving away the signed Kyler Murray football. Just leave a review for the show on Apple Podcasts or CastBox. Go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter. And if you are subscribed to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, that's 3 times the entry for the contest. Also, after we record this, I'm going to be doing the kickoff. I'll probably say something about Tags as well, but also just giving my personal 5 biggest takeaways to what I saw on Sunday. So we'll be doing all that. But let's get into it. Pat, trust or bust, that's how we get started. There is a player who was drafted highly by fantasy managers, who fantasy managers have essentially been wanting to cut after his first couple of games, and that was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It looked a little rough early. There was a fumble early. Everybody got nervous, but in the end, he has a huge game, 17 carries for 100 yards on the ground, catches both of his targets for 9 yards with a touchdown through the air. You know, this is more yards rushing in this one than he had in his first 2 games combined. So going forward, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, trust or bust?
I'm going to say bust, Dan. It was certainly better than it looked in the first couple of games, but the Chargers' run defense has not been very good. We saw Antonio Gibson have a pretty good game against them in week two. We saw the Tony Pollard blow up in week one was Gibson, week two was Pollard and Zeke. They were giving up 5.6 yards per carry coming into week three. And, you know, Clyde had his day. What we didn't see out of Clyde was that heavy passing game usage, just the two targets. Mahomes just doesn't check it down. Either he looks downfield, looks to buy time with his legs, maybe run it himself, but he just does not check it down. So, you know, it worked out for Clyde in the running game this week, but generally I'm just kind of off him now.
Okay, so let's quantify what that means, though, exactly, because coming in, you had him ranked 18th at running back. I had him 17th. Is that where you're keeping him? Is that the bust portion of it, or are you moving him down even further?
I think he's going to be further down, like probably around 20-ish or so. I mean, you're realistically, you're still starting him most weeks. I mean, he's not like so bad that you're benching him, but you know, a guy that you were buying as a low-end running back one, high-end running back two, realistically is like more like a back-end running back two.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And certainly that's down from where fantasy managers drafted him. But again, I listed him, Pat, as my buy low coming in. And again, I think that was relative to what fantasy managers were thinking, right? Like, do I think buy low as in you are going to get what we thought you were going to get at draft season? No, I don't think so. But fantasy managers were so disappointed in him. But he's a guy you basically have to start each and every week, because once you get past 20 at your running back rankings, it's just all like, I mean, it's like Myles Gaskin, right? You're right. Like a guy, you know, who you're like, all right, I'll start. But nobody's going to, you know, knock your socks off. Let's talk about one of my personal favorite guys who Yates has always made fun of me for. That's Emmanuel Sanders, 6 targets, 5 catches, 94 yards, and 2 touchdowns. 20 targets in 3 games. He really seems to me, Pat, like he's a potential flex going forward in deeper leagues. Emmanuel Sanders, trust or bust?
I'm going to say trust. I grossly underranked him this week, and I'm going to be punished for that, as I should well be. But it's weird, Dan. His average depth of target through 2 weeks was like 18 yards. He is the 34-and-a-half-year-old vertical threat in this offense now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Beasley gets the short area targets. Diggs is kind of the all-over-the-field guy. And Sanders is kind of the field stretcher, the vertical guy, which is weird. But he's kind of squeezed out Gabriel Davis, who we saw with one target there. Yep. So that's kind of Sanders' gig now. And it's working. Like he and Allen got on the same page real quickly, just as Allen did with Diggs last year. And I do think he's, you know, wide receiver 3 or flex worthy going forward.
Yeah, I agree. Yates is listening to this cringing, and I expect a message from him tomorrow saying you were right, which is rare for me and Yates. But look, what I had said all along, I quite frankly, I expected Beasley to, you know, maybe have issues, and maybe he will, playing for the entirety of the season, just given obviously what we've got going on with the NFL protocols. But I did think that Sanders was a guy that the Bills targeted. They wanted him, and they had room for another wide receiver, as we saw with Brown. And it was really whether or not it was going to be Sanders, whether or not it was going to be Davis. I thought it was going to be Sanders. And like you said, one target for Davis. He does catch it, 23 yards. But it was something where I do think Sanders is a guy now you're not going to be excited about, but you can start. We are going to retire What's Your Problem, Man, for good. We are going to fully go into I Am Confused by Your Opinion, Sir. And Pat, I'm confused by your opinion, sir, on Justin Fields. Now this was like the bottom, like 1 percentile of what we could have expected to see in this game here. Just 6 for 20 for 68 yards. He only adds 12 yards rushing. That was kind of where I was coming from when I talked about him earlier this week. I was like, well, you're going to get the floor with the rushing yards because, you know, he's going to get blitzed all the time and everything like that. But nothing happened. There were rumors about a hand injury afterwards that he basically said did not happen. So, Pat, look, you had him as your 11th quarterback rest of the season. I had him 17th. I thought that was aggressive, even assuming that he was going to start. So that was ahead of Matthew Stafford, Ryan Tannehill. So I am confused about your opinion on Justin Fields, sir.
Yeah, I love that rushing floor. The whole Konami code thing. Like, I think sure, that's going to give him value. And we saw at Ohio State, like, he has got an arm. he has got a really good arm and, you know, a couple pretty good receivers with Robinson and Mooney. What he doesn't have, Dan, is an offensive line. And we saw that today. And he was just destroyed. No time to really get set. No chance to use his ability because he was hemmed in so quickly on so many of those pass rushes. And, yeah, so 47 yards today, net offense for the Bears. Second lowest total in team history, and this is a team that goes back a ways. I think a loss to the Lions, a 9-3 loss in 1981. They squeezed out 24 yards. That was a fun game, Dan. That was Vince Evans and Bob Avellini combining for, I think they were something like 12 of 39 throwing. And there was some other guy who threw one pass for an incompletion. Higher quarterback rating than Evans and Avellini had in that game. That game of 38 rating, Evans and Avellini were both zero.
All right. Well, that's a great stat that I'm surprised you had ready to go, considering we're all basically reacting. But I love it. Absolutely. So, I mean, I guess the question is, Pat, this was against Cleveland. Their next game is against Detroit. That's followed by Las Vegas. Do you think, I mean, better times are ahead for Fields, assuming he's still going to start, which I think there's talk that Andy Dalton's probably going to be out for a little while. But assuming he continues to start, you'd have to assume that better days are ahead for Fields, right?
I think so. I'd play him, you know, depending on what the other option is, I think he's very streamable next 2 weeks.
Okay. But you will be ranking him in your rest of season rankings over at Fantasy Pros behind Matthew Stafford and Ryan Tannehill, right?
Most likely, yes.
All right, I'll take it. Okay, let's get into the games, Pat. Chargers 30, Chiefs 24, Survivor pools, two-team teasers blew up everywhere. If you started someone on the Chargers, you are pretty happy. After this game, Justin Herbert, 281 yards, four touchdowns. Austin Eckler, 17 touches, 107 yards in the touchdown. Keenan Allen, only 50 yards, but he finds the end zone. 12 targets, 8 catches. Mike Williams, 9 targets, 7 catches, 122 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Pat, how high are we supposed to be ranking Mike Williams realistically going forward at this point?
Mid-range wide receiver 2, maybe? Yep. And yep. Boy, both of the touchdowns looked so good. They were those high point balls where Herbert just puts it where only Williams can get it, and maybe where, you know, only a few receivers in the league could go up and get it. Maybe Williams, yep. Mike Evans, some of the big guys. Man, he is just so impressive right now. He is just totally transformed himself into a monster. Like, he's the new Mike Thomas, it seems like. Thomas.
Just stay healthy. I mean, you had him 27th, I had him 25th coming into the week in our rest of the season, so we were right there. We are both going to move him up. And, I, you know, on the kickoff, Pat, I talk, one time I talk about my rest of season rankings of followers. That's one of the episodes per week. And both times it has been about Mike Williams as a riser. Like, here's somebody who has risen significantly from last week to this week. And first it was like Mike Williams went from 48 to 33rd. Oh, 33rd to 25th. I agree. He's probably going to be talked about again because this looks absolutely real. He looks incredible. If he stays healthy, it's really difficult to see him not having an absolutely, I mean, borderline dominant season. Wasn't great, though, for the Chiefs. We talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That was fine. Mahomes, 27 for 44, 260 yards and 3 touchdowns, but also 2 interceptions. And one of them was bad, where Will and I were watching, and we were like, what? That was a poor decision, which you just so rarely see from him. He does add 45 yards rushing. Travis Kelce, 11 targets, 7 catches, 104 yards. Let's talk about Tyreek Hill very quickly. 7 targets, 5 catches, 56 yards here. He lost the fumble. Just 4 targets, 3 catches, 14 yards against Baltimore last week. Do you have any actual concerns here with Tyreek Hill going forward, or are these just a couple of mediocre to bad games in a row?
A couple of mediocre to bad games in a row. He's pretty streaky. We've seen that. I know Tags was always a little concerned about the streakiness, and that was why he always preferred Davante Adams to Tyreek Hill. So, yeah, understood there. And Ed, he could go for 230 yards and 2 TDs next week. He just doesn't produce quite as consistently as Davante Adams. But, I mean, he's a stud, and he's going to get his. And if the bad games are 56 yards and 4 or 5 catches, really that's not too bad. So it is what it is, I guess.
Yep, I agree with you. I am not really concerned, but it's worth noting because, you know, any player has two poor games or whatever you want to call this one in a row, fantasy managers freak out. Like, so it's been solved. The Tyreek Hill code has been solved. I don't think it's been solved. It's just a bad couple of games. I'm really not concerned. Rest of season, Cardinals 31, Jaguars 19. So DeAndre Hopkins was banged up. There was rumors he'd try to gut it out. He does play through it, but he does not produce all that much. Six targets, three catches, 21 yards. So in the receiving game, it's AJ Green, six targets, five catches, 112 yards. Christian Kirk, eight targets, seven catches, 104 yards. He was potentially in a trust or bust here, Pat. So I guess extra version of it, trust or bust Christian Kirk going forward.
Trust. Like the AJ Green yardage did not look that good today. It was just kind of, you know, there was one where the defense kind of lost him for a long game, maybe like a 40-yard completion or something. But yeah, this is an interesting offense where you can have AJ Green and Kirk go 12 catches, 216 yards, and Hopkins and Rondale Moore 5 for 22. So not what we're going to see every week, but I think Kirk and Murray look really good together. And we saw him click a few times last year, not as much as, you know, Kirk investors would have liked. But he's really good. He's really fast. He's getting more of those slot snaps this year, which is really key for him because that's where he does his best work for sure. I think he was miscast on the outside the last couple of years. And, you know, the bigger slot role is suiting him very nicely.
So one of the things I talked about with Yates earlier this week is that I was the quote unquote low guy on Rondale Moore. Now it changed a little bit. I don't know. I haven't checked TCR or anything, so I don't know where it ended up. But obviously I moved more up this week once I knew that Hopkins was going to be pretty limited. But obviously we talked, I mean, more four total yards on three touch is, do we think that, is this just kind of what we can expect from Moore? Is he going to be inconsistent because he doesn't get the snaps, or is it just kind of a one-off trust him pretty much going forward?
I think it's kind of a one-off. I mean, the snap thing is maybe going to be a little bit, get him into a bit of a danger zone with consistency. They had been sort of scheming touches to him on the snaps where they did have him in. So, you know, the snap count wasn't as much of a concern. Still a playmaker, though. Like, he had a nice 28-yard punt return in this game. He's just dynamite with the ball in his hand. So they didn't get into his hands enough, but I think for the most part, they're going to look to do that, and I'm not too worried.
This is just a weird game. I mean, there was a long period of time where it looked like they were going to lose this game. So yeah. Just bizarre. In the running game also, I mean, talking about bizarre, James Conner, two touchdowns here, 12 touches, 53 total yards. He does get two touchdowns, both in goal line work. Chase Edmonds, 18 touches, 75 yards. Fair to say, like, we can pretty much consider Edmonds most weeks, like, you know, whatever, a low-end RB2 or a high-end flex. And James Conner, we can probably start if the Cardinals are favored pretty heavily. You think that's fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. If the Cardinals are not in a game against the Rams, if it's a decently mediocre run defense, I think we can consider playing Connor. Someone had asked me early today on Twitter why I kind of consistently had Edmonds ranked below ECR. Mm-hmm. I think he's just a guy, Dan. I really do. I mean, it can be a valuable role that he's getting some targets in this, but like, as a runner, he's just kind of mediocre. And, you know, we can't always count on a large number of targets either, especially with like so many good receivers, Rondale and Kirk and Hopkins demanding targets. So I think both of these guys are kind of iffy running back three flex types, and in the right matchup, yes, but a lot of times no.
Yeah.
As far as playing him.
I like Edmonds in a PPR league because you know basically that the floor is so high, but there's very little touchdown possibility just because you know Connor's going to get the goal line work, or more likely Kyler Murray, who had a rushing touchdown in this one. There is just sort of a cap on his ceiling, so it's hard to rank him too high. Murray, meanwhile, does a pretty quiet fantasy day, 316 yards through the air. He has a pick. He does rush for that touchdown on the bootleg. But if you complain about a down performance from Kyler Murray, then you are too hard a grader. From the Jaguars, a big game here for James Robinson, 15 for 88 and a touchdown on the ground. He also catches all six of his targets for 46 yards through the air. Can we trust James Robinson going forward, Pat?
I think so. After that scare in week one where Urban Meyer was kind of using Carlos Hyde as the primary early down backs, it seems like there's been a sea change since then. And it does seem that James Robinson is, if not quite all the way back to that gigantic workhorse role he had last year, like pretty close to it, where he's getting, you know, other than the occasional relief stints from Carlos Hyde, most of the work has been Robinson's.
Yeah, Hyde does have 8 carries for 44 yards here, but yeah, it is Robinson. And boy, I feel like this is a situation which I, as a fantasy analyst, have completely misread. Like, in week one, I was all like, it's going to be Robinson. It's going to be great. He's going to get all the touches. And I totally jumped off the ship in going into week two. And this week, I was like, I don't know. We'll see. So yeah, I agree with you, though. It does look like, you know, whatever we saw in week one was just kind of a one-off, and it's going to be Robinson here going forward. Meanwhile, Marvin Jones is your leading receiver. 8 targets, 6 catches, 62 yards. Chark finds the end zone, 6 targets, 3 catches, 49 yards with that score. And Laviska Shenault, at least someone involved, catches all 4 of his targets for 48 yards. Who do you, just generally speaking, feel comfortable starting in a fantasy football match in any given week among the Jaguars wide receivers?
Probably most comfortable with Jones right now. I think he is the target leader by, even with Chark's big target game. We'd have to go check that. Actually, he and Chark are probably pretty close. But a little more trust for Jones, because I think he's been more efficient so far with his targets. But all of these guys, you know, man, I mean, I wish Trevor Lawrence were making better decisions with the ball. And, you know, it seems like there are a couple of bad decisions. Sometimes they're leading to turnovers, and that costs you drives and snaps and scoring opportunities. So not super excited about any of the Jacksonville receivers right now, but I guess Jones would probably be the guy I trust most.
Yeah, Jones is a guy I had shares of coming into the season, and he's just kind of like the, you know, the unexciting guy who I know I can stick in my lineup and is not going to kill me. So I will take that, because nobody else in the Jaguars receiving group offers that. Before we keep going, again, we've all obviously been thinking about tags, not just this weekend, but for weeks. There is a specific player that I always think about, that I know, you know, Yates and I always do think about when we think of tags. It's AJ Green, just because he was always defending him and always talking about, you know, how this was, he was going to bounce back. It was always there. And I am currently the highest bidder on a signed AJ Green helmet over at PristineAuction.com. Hopefully I win it. If not, I will probably win another AJ Green item. And part of that is because this weekend I searched for AJ Green items and like 20 came up for auction. So there's a lot there that I'm going to be able to choose from. And that's basically what it is like with anything that you want. They have thousands of auctions every single day. It is free to register. It is free to bid. You only pay if you win something. There are so many auctions. Because of that, there are amazing prices that you can get. Seriously, just browse around. You'll see some of the prices and you'll be shocked. Again, just go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And if you use our code FANSPROS in the registration field to get $5 off, they'll also know that we sent you. All right, let's get to our next game. Browns 26, Bears 6. We talked about how bad Justin Fields was. David Montgomery, 55 total yards on 12 touchdowns. On 12 touches, good. 12 touchdowns would be quite the game. Allen Robinson, obviously nobody did anything in the passing game because it was only 68 yards. 6 targets, 2 catches, 27 yards. Darnell Mooney, people were excited about. 4 targets, 1 catch, 9 yards. So with Fields probably going to be the starter here, we talked about the matchups getting a little bit easier. I mean, are you comfortable starting Allen Robinson at this point?
I don't know about comfortable, but I'm still starting him every week. Like, I don't think he is beyond that wide receiver 2 range just yet. Like, I still think he's a top 25 guy. You know, I'm giving Fields the mulligan, the one game mulligan on a day where he was just getting pressured. And, you know, we'll see if he flops these next 2 weeks, Dan, with the more favorable matchups. We might have to reassess that. But I'm a little more worried about Mooney because, you know, he's going to be you'd like to think he's more of a vertical threat. And man, Fields does throw a pretty deep ball, but he's not going to have time for Mooney to get deep if the pass protection is as shabby as it was today.
Yeah. I mean, Mooney's a guy who I know, like Yates and a bunch of guys have been really excited about. I like him, but this is the type of thing where I need to see it, other than the one game, you know, last week where he led the team in targets. And, you know, I need to see it more before I'm going to buy in. Robinson, I'm obviously concerned about, but his whole career has been about succeeding with poor quarterback play. So I have to think, as the matchups get easier, you know, we'll reassess, like you said, Pat, if it doesn't get better, but I'd have to think it gets better. So my guess is I will still rank Allen Robinson as a starter, and fantasy managers across the land will scream at me and I will have to defend it, and I will do it. And then he'll probably have four catches for 35 yards. And then we'll talk about it here next week. On the Browns, Kareem Hunt finally has that huge game that I was basically like, he's not going to have because this is done and annoying. 10 for 81 with a touchdown on the ground, seven targets, six catches, 74 yards through the air. I didn't want anything to do with him in this matchup. I mean, I ranked him as probably up like a high, an okay flex play. I don't know. I don't even remember, but high 30s, you know, like 30, I mean, or 31, somewhere around there. How do you feel about Hunt going forward? You just leave him in your lineup and just whatever comes, comes?
I think so. I think so. He, man, did he look good today.
I mean,
he was just angry runs, just bullying people over, just so hard to tackle. I feel like the Browns are cheating the rest of the league by having like maybe two top five running back talents. These guys are that good. Yep. I mean, two of the top five, two of the top seven. You know, if these guys were on separate teams and they both had lead running back roles, we would be talking about both of them as high-end RB1s.
Yeah. I mean, the thing with Hunt for me, again, I think it was one time in his last 11 games that he had topped 65 total yards, you know? And right. I was like, okay, well, then you need the touchdown. But this looked like a different – this, like you said, he ran angry today. Like, he really – I don't think anything changed, but yeah, this at least gives me more comfort because I feel like Pat, I don't know about you, regardless of the matchup, like he's usually in like the mid 20s or something like that for me when I rank him, just because again, you're in that range. It's not that exciting anyway. This one in particular, I just didn't want a piece of, and he did great and kudos to him. So you do have to think about it going forward. Nick Chubb, 22 for 84, always provides. Obviously, didn't get the touchdown, but whatever. How about Odell Beckham Jr. here? What did you think? I don't know if you were able to, you know, I know we've got games going on all day long. Nine targets, five catches, 77 yards.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. Like there was another pretty nice catch he made where he just couldn't get his feet down by the sidelines. I think they had a run to him that went for 10 or 11 yards. So he was involved and... you know, kind of really the only thing they had going on at wide receiver. I guess Donovan Peoples-Jones had like two targets and two decent catches. But yeah, I mean, Odell, he did look pretty good. And I think, you know, most of the people who have Odell on their roster probably wanted that show me game before they felt comfortable putting him in their lineup. I think they got that this week.
I thought he looked great. I mean, I had this one on as a bunch because I really wanted to see what Beckham looked like because of how weird it's been, right, with all this. He's going to play. He looks great. Oh, wait, you know what? Might be a game time decision. Oh, wait, I wanted to see it. I thought he looked phenomenal, really, just from a talent standpoint. So I'm completely like you. You know, if you were waiting for the show me game, you got it. I agree completely with this one. Bills 43, Washington football team 21. Josh Allen, 358 yards passing with four passing touchdowns. He also adds a rushing touchdown. We talked already about Emmanuel Sanders. Stephon Diggs, 10 targets, 6 catches, 62 yards. Cole Beasley, heavily involved, 13 targets, 11 catches, 98 yards. Dawson Knox catches a touchdown. But let's talk about the running backs here. Zach Moss, 3 targets, catches all of them for 31 yards with a touchdown through the air. 13 carries, 60 yards on the ground. Devin Singletary, 11 for 26 on the ground. One catch for 0 yards. What are you doing with the Bills running backs going forward?
We're really getting head faked here, Dan, by this. I mean, we have Zach Moss as a healthy scratch in week one, and it seems like Singletary was the only game in town, and that's kind of what we wanted because we talked about this before, how Josh Allen steals rushing touchdowns near the goal line, so it's really hard to play any of these guys unless like you've got one guy clearly ahead of the other in terms of snaps and touches. And I don't think we have that anymore. And if anything, it seems like Moss is starting to get the upper hand again, kind of as it was when we left off with the Bills last season. So kind of back to square one with the Moss-Singletary combo. And it's very confusing and very frustrating to try to peg from week to week.
Yeah, I mean, I only have preliminary data. I don't get the final stuff until tomorrow. But from what I saw, Zach Moss did outsnap Devin Singletary by a pretty healthy margin in this game. So yeah, I don't know, but this one feels like the Bucs running backs from last year. As soon as I buy into one of them, the other one comes out of nowhere. But right now it's going to be Moss. Moss will be higher in my rest of season rankings, but that is subject to change for sure. For Washington, Antonio Gibson has that giant 73-yard touchdown catch and run early, but just 12 for 31 on the ground. Fantasy managers seem concerned about Gibson. Are you, Pat?
I'm a little annoyed that he only got two targets when we see him have that kind of play and, you know, was running and not really getting much room to operate. Like the Washington wasn't able to get a push against a really good Bills defense. I mean, the Bills probably have closed in to the point where we can consider them elite. But yeah, I mean, like, get this man the ball in space, please. And it was a weird day because J.D. McKissic only had two targets himself. Just not a lot cooking with the Washington passing game in this one. But, man, I'm a little concerned, yes, that Gibson is not getting those. He's not getting the passing game work we thought he might get. And, you know, we're kind of treated to a little bit in week one, but not since. And it's frustrating.
You know, you hit the nail on the head, which is that 73-yard touchdown run was touchdown catch and run was pretty early in the game. So how do you end this game when you're playing from behind with him getting two targets? Like, why does that happen? Like, look what he did with the one target that he got right off the bat. It is extremely frustrating for sure. But again, you know, when we talk about being concerned, put it into context, like you're obviously still starting Gibson every single week and probably as a borderline, you know, RB1, just it's less confidence than you otherwise would. For the receivers, just, you know, seven targets, four catches, 62 yards for Terry McLaurin doesn't kill you. Logan Thomas finds the end zone, catches all four of his targets for 42 yards. Anything of note here with the Washington passing game, or just good to move on?
I think we can move on. I mean, it's still pretty clearly defined. And the fact that, you know, De'Ami Brown really wasn't involved, it's basically just, you know, Logan Thomas, Terry McLaurin, you're rolling out those guys every week, but no one else. Right.
Yep, I agree. All right, before we go on, I hope you guys had a great fantasy week, both for your season long, but also for DFS and with DraftKings in particular, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Even if you don't like risking money on DFS, DraftKings gives customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. You know how to do it by now. You pick your lineup, you stand at the salary cap, and you see how you do against however, you know, many competitors you want to go up against. And you can get a free shot, again, at millions of dollars in prizes when you use code FANTASYPROS with your first deposit. DraftKings is safe and secure. You can deposit and withdraw money whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code FANTASYPROS. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Again, that's code FANTASYPROS only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit is required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Titans 25, Colts 16. AJ Brown leaves very early here with a hamstring injury. I'm not sure on the severity of it. I haven't seen it, but obviously left early. Wasn't ruled out immediately like Christian McCaffrey, but never returned. So we'll have to see here. Without him, Ryan Tannehill doesn't really pile on the yards, just 197. He does throw three touchdown passes. He adds on 56 yards rushing. He also throws two picks. Just kind of a weird game here. Nine players catch at least one pass for the targets. 11 see at least one target. Nobody has more than four targets or four receptions. The touchdown goes to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Jeremy McNichols and Chester Rogers. Julio Jones, four targets, three catches, 47 yards. I don't know. Any takeaways from the receiving game, or was it like AJ Brown's out? Who knows what we're going to see here?
Yeah, I mean, if AJ Brown's on the shelf for a while, like, I'm going to feel pretty good about Julio Jones. It seemed like, I don't know, despite the lowish targets, it seemed like he was kind of more of a factor. And there were times where he was at least getting looked at. I don't know. So I'd feel good about him. Other than that, I mean, Tannehill's just kind of a resourceful quarterback, and he'll sort of use whatever is available to him, whether it's some amalgam of tight ends or, you know, and we saw, well, today, Dan, only three targets for Derrick Henry.
He did catch all of them, though. He's all about it. Yeah.
So much for him threatening the, you know, receiving the single season receiving record for a running back. But nice to see him still somewhat involved. And, you know, really hoping this isn't a longer term AJB injury.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And again, he battles through everything, but soft tissue injuries are always nerve-wracking a little bit. And yeah, you mentioned it with Henry, 28 for 113 on the ground. He does catch all three of his passes, of his targets, for 31 yards, which, again, I will take that any day of the week from Derrick Henry if you're going to give me three targets, and especially if he catches all of them. So, again, they get the Jets and the Jaguars next, so certainly should be big games for everyone. For the Colts, Carson Wentz does play, as had basically been expected since Friday. Not a great game, 19 for 37, 194 yards. Michael Pittman sees the 12 targets, just 6 catches, 68 yards. Jonathan Taylor, 10 for 64 on the ground, just 1 catch for 8 yards. It's Nyheim Hines who gets the rushing touchdown. He also adds 79 total yards. Also, Quentin Nelson suffered a high ankle sprain early in this one. So, any thoughts here on the Colts?
Yeah, a quarterback playing on 2 sprained ankles, and the game script didn't necessarily go their way, but they weren't that far out of it at any point during the game. You would think they would not have wanted to go with a 37-18 pass run split in this. So why they didn't get Taylor more involved when he was actually running pretty well with the few opportunities he had. And now, man, I mean, these guys are so snake bitten with injuries, and seeing Quentin Nelson get carted off, you know, it wasn't just hobbled off. They brought out the cart and took him into the locker room. So that's concerning for sure. You know, since he's probably the best interior lineman in the league, big problem for this offense.
Yeah. Again, it's a high ankle sprain, so that's going to be a while, but hopefully, you know, not season ending, but yeah, it was bizarre. Again, like every game, they're in it. They are in it, even with Carson Wentz basically being unable to move, and kudos to him for gutting it out. It's a tough dude for sure. But yeah, the fact that they didn't just kind of try to lean into the run and control the game that way was bizarre, but is what it is. Saints 28, Patriots 13. Alvin Kamara gets going here, 24 for 89 on the ground. He adds 3 catches, 29 yards with the touchdown through the air. But your leading receiver on the day is Marquez Callaway, who totals a whopping 41 yards on 5 targets and 4 catches. He does have the touchdown. So I have not seen, I don't know if you have, Pat, I haven't seen anything on Traquan Smith's timeline here. He should be eligible to come back next week, if I'm correct. So I guess he's probably not coming back since I haven't seen anything on him. But thoughts on Callaway here? Are you finally optimistic since he was the quote-unquote leading receiver here for the Saints?
Yeah, I mean, 5 targets in the context of new game manager Jameis Winston is actually, like, you know, in a day where they threw the ball around normally might be like 8 or 9 targets. So, Callaway had that week one matchup against Jaire Alexander, just got completely shut out. I thought he might bounce back a little in week two, really didn't. But by that time, everyone was off the bandwagon, and now he's probably available in most leagues on waivers. Yep. And I actually think he's not a bad play. It's just odd. We've seen game manager Jameis Winston now in 2 out of their 3 games, and it's such a contrast from what we saw in Tampa a couple of years ago, and just fling it all over Jameis. So kind of an interesting offense. Kamara getting more than 20 carries, but only like 4 targets.
Right.
I'm not sure that's ideal for long-term success for him. I'm definitely interested in Callaway. I think he's probably the only pass catcher we're interested in here at all until Michael Thomas gets back. Not even the tight ends, I think, combined for 0 catches today. I don't think either of them are playable. And, we'll definitely need a prove-it game from Traquan when he comes back before we even consider inserting him into our lineups.
I've been waiting for a prove a game from Traquan for like, 2 seasons around here. But yeah, I agree that my worry with Callaway again is that I think the conservative Jameis, again, he threw 21 times in this game, right? 13 for 21, 128 yards, and he hasn't 2 touchdowns. It's just, I think ideally this is what they want. I think ideally they want to limit what he has to do throwing the ball, and then they get the Giants and Washington in their next 2 games. I'm not sure that's going to be a game where they think, you know what, we need Jameis to win this game. So I'm worried if the targets aren't there, the pass attempts aren't there, what we could expect from any pass catcher, including Callaway. That's why I'll probably, I'll move him up, but still I'm pretty lukewarm on him. For the Pats, James White carted off with a hip injury. I don't know the severity, and the running game just does nothing in this game. Damien Harris, 6 for 14, adds, 2 catches for negative 3 yards. I mean, are you concerned here about Harris, or was this just a tough matchup against the good Saints defense?
Tough matchup. Saints have been really good against the run. They are a hard team to run on. So, we know that Damien Harris doesn't really have the passing game as an out for him. Like, he can't get it done on the ground. It's kind of not happening for him. So, sad to see White leave. I wonder if that might mean more opportunity for J.J. Taylor in the future. Maybe we see Ramondre Stevenson active next week. Yeah, and the touchdownless Jacoby Meyer streak continues. I think he had nine catches. And
I mean, you'll take that, right? Like, you'll take 14 targets, 9 catches, 94 yards for Myers. I mean, it's no, you know, Kendrick Bourne, you know, who gets the touchdown, 96 yards again. But you're happy with Myers, right? Given what we got from him in this game. All right.
Yeah, I mean, very good. I think he's close to an every week starter.
Yeah. I agree with you. I'm disappointed that Yates is not here right now for me to ask this question. Is Jonnu Smith droppable?
Oh, man. I think he is. Sorry, Yates. Just because the passing game is not clicking. They've got two tight ends. It's kind of unpredictable who's going to get targets every week, and we just haven't seen it happen for Jonnu yet, so I'm afraid he is.
That is the correct answer. He is droppable for sure. 6 targets, 1 catch, 4 yards, and basically an interception on an assist on an interception where he basically gave it to him. So I agree. I really think you can drop him at this point. It's disappointing. I bought into it coming in, but I'm out now. Falcons 17, Giants 14. Let's start with Cordarrelle Patterson here. 7 for 20 on the ground, but 7 targets, 6 catches, 82 yards through the air. He's your leading receiver. I mean, is this now somebody who we need to be thinking about, like, every week flex conversation or what?
I think so. I'm digging this new role for him. Like, he's very involved, and it's kind of coming at the expense of Kyle Pitts.
Yes.
Like, I think Patterson is definitely standing in the middle of the runway blocking the Pitts takeoff here. Like, he is getting the sort of, I don't know, the sort of usage in the passing game we hope to see from Pitts. And Patterson, like Pitts, is kind of a freak athlete. Always has been. And I really like the way they're using him. It kind of sucks that it's at the expense of Pitts, but Patterson is someone, he needs to be rostered in every league for sure. And he is borderline playable. Like, once the bye weeks kick in, Dan, I think he's pretty close to an every week starter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if this is what we're going to see, without question, just because he's involved so much, and maybe it's just Arthur Smith basically being like, we need something. We got to come up with something at this point. And I mean, they did win the game, so that was good. Let me ask you a question. Kyle Pitts, I'm looking at our rest of season tight end rankings, which are basically identical as I look at least the playable ones. So Pitts was both our 7th tight ends. Are you going to have Pitts or Tyler Higbee ahead in your next update of rest of season rankings?
I knew you were going to say that name, and that's going to be a really tough decision tomorrow when I do rest of season rankings. I think it's going to be Higbee after what we saw from him today.
Yep. That's where I'm going. That's the exact, we're thinking about this the same way.
What about Logan Thomas, Dan?
Oh, no. See, Logan Thomas is my dude. And my guess is I'm going to have Thomas a spot behind, but it would basically sort of be like, if somebody was like, I really don't believe in Pitts right now, I want to trade for Logan Thomas, I would be completely fine with it, right? Like, I'll probably have Pitts one spot ahead is my guess when all is said and done, but I'll have them basically as like equal value on the trade chart, for example, that I do, like exact equal value. But that is a good spot, and I love Logan Thomas. But I think it was like, Pitts is a guy, because he's so talented, that I'm just going to have to like move down like 1-2 spots at a time, barely, right? I can't just drop him completely. So that is also a good one. But yeah, that's the range. Ridley, meanwhile, sees 11 targets, 8 catches for 61 yards. It's not great. I mean, 20 catches is good, but 51, 63, and 61 yards. Is he no longer a strong wide receiver one at this point for you?
I think that's it. He's slipped a little to maybe low end wide receiver one. It's just, I don't think we saw that this offense was going to be quite as impotent as it is. Like, this passing game is just not very productive, and it's costing Ridley not sustaining a lot of long drives and that reduced touchdown opportunity from what we thought he might have. It's tough. I know a lot of people were drafting him as like the 4th receiver off the board this summer.
Oh, I think I moved him to 3. I'm not kidding. 3? Like, I think I had moved him. I had moved him ahead of Hopkins. And I think when I ended up, I kept flip-flopping him and Diggs for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't decide on who to do. But yeah, I had Ridley up there because I really just thought, I mean, once Julio was gone, I was just like, the targets are going to be astronomical. There should be enough. But yeah, I agree with you. He's going to be moving down. Still a wide receiver one, like, but it's worth talking about in this context. By the way, we mentioned Pitts. I don't know if I gave his numbers. 3 targets, 2 catches, 35 yards. And I will say that I think where we're at right now with Mike Davis is you got 12 carries for 50 yards, 4 catches for 20 yards. That's 9 half PPR points. And I am absolutely happy to take that. If I'm starting Mike Davis and you're going to give me 9 points, I'm happy with 9 points for a guy who I drafted to be my RB2, which is sad that that's where we are. But I really think that I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's like his, not his ceiling, but basically where he is. So that's what we can see. For the Giants, so many injuries. Goodness gracious. Sterling Shepard barely played. He suffered a hamstring injury. Darius Slayton barely played, also suffered a hamstring injury. Kenny Galladay was supposed to be on a limited snap count, and he winds up being the leading receiver with 64 yards. So that is what it is. But talk to me about Saquon Barkley here. 16 for 51, but he does find the end zone. He also sees 7 targets, 6 catches, 43 yards. So that's 22 touches, 94 yards, and a touchdown. Are you very encouraged by Saquon Barkley?
I am very encouraged because I don't think the numbers do justice to how good he looked today. We saw a lot of the same old Saquon Barkley, just the little bursts, the little moves to pick up extra yards, good like yardage after contact. It all looked pretty good today. Like this is the best I've felt about Barkley this season for sure. I feel like he's kind of back to old Saquon.
Yeah. I felt like there were glimpses that we saw in those first 2 games, mm-hmm. right? There'd be like a play or like just a move that he would make you be like, oh, okay. And then I was like, we've got 10 days. We've got a soft defense. Let's see what it looks like. It wasn't like a dominant sort of, obviously from a yards per carry average or anything like that. But I feel very, very confident in what we're going to see from Saquon going forward. Let's go to the Bengals 24, Steelers 10. For the Bengals, no T. Higgins here, as we knew coming in. Joe Burrow throws for only 172 yards, but 3 touchdown passes. 2 of them go to Ja'Marr Chase, who catches 4 passes for 62 yards. The other one to Tyler Boyd, 4 catches for 36 yards on 6 catches. So, I mean, obviously Higgins is going to come back. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but he'll be back at some point. So with that in mind, how high are you going to have Ja'Marr Chase ranked rest of season?
Probably back end wide receiver 2, I want to say. Yeah, I mean, encouraging that he still was able to have a productive day today, considering how few plays the Bengals ran. I mean, yep. The Bengals, if you had those guys on your team, you kind of got cheated in a way by like just a freaky game script where the Steelers ran like, almost twice as many plays, not very effectively. But the Bengals offense was just sort of functional and, Chase got his and Boyd had the touchdown. So I feel pretty good about Chase. I mean, he definitely has a nose for the big play and the end zone. Like, yeah, that's a thing for sure. And whatever case of the drops he had in preseason and training camp, like, he's over that now. He's gotten used to the pro ball, I guess, as opposed to the college football.
Right.
All systems go for Chase, I think.
Yeah. I agree. I had him 24th coming into the week already, like for rest of season. So I don't know how much higher I'm going to be able to move him, but I have total confidence in him, as I do in Joe Mixon, 18 for 90 on the ground, just 1 target and catch for 4 yards. But again, weird game here because the Steelers offense was just dominating in terms of having the ball, but not doing much. So let's talk about that. Najee Harris, just 14 for 40 on the ground, but 19 targets, 14 catches and 102 yards. I think I saw somebody tweet out that 19 targets was the second most all time for a running back behind Alvin Kamara in one game where he had 20. We talked about this, Pat. We talked about how, like, it doesn't look real good with the offensive line, but the volume should make up for it, especially with how involved he is in the passing game. Can we survive like this with this offensive line realistically rest of season?
You're just going to have to take it with Najee. I mean, it's just bizarre. But Roethlisberger needs him as a check down option. He absolutely needs him with the lack of protection he's getting. And, not that he looks great himself, but he's getting overrun. I mean, sometimes like the pass rushes on him, he escapes to throw a 3-yard pass to Najee Harris. It's like he's not standing in there to survey the field and take the deep shots. He's standing in there just to survive long enough to get a dump off pass fired off to Najee Harris. Yeah. And I thought I saw that it was like Groundhog Day watching the Steelers game, watching that same sort of play happen over and over and over again. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'll take it if you're, if you've got Najee on your team. Like I it gives him back end RB1 value.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's really ugly. Probably you should not be watching the Steelers games because it's just disgusting. But yeah. The volume's going to do it, especially in the passing game. I actually feel like horrible for Ben Roethlisberger as I watch every game. It looks disgusting. He looks miserable and he looks like he's in pain and barely able to throw the ball. So that's bad. And the pass catchers are falling like flies. Deontay Johnson missed this game with the knee injury. Juju Smith-Schuster suffered a rib injury and left. Chase Claypool was banged up in the game, but he, 15 targets, 9 catches, 96 yards. I mean, the offense just looks terrible, Pat. Like, what do you assume all three wide receivers are healthy at some point? Like, I don't, what do you do with the wide receivers? I guess you start them all as, Deontay, if he's healthy, a wide receiver 2 and the other guys as borderline flexes, I guess, or, Claypool a little higher.
Yeah, that's kind of it. Deontay is a 2. I mean, Deontay still gets double digit targets in most games he plays. Claypool doesn't necessarily need the big target count because, he tends to get the high value targets and just, such a playmaker. Juju's the one I think you have to consider a little more carefully and, maybe a flex. Like he's sort of a borderline starter at this point. He's still getting those low average depth of targets. There's just not a lot of big play potential there. A decent floor with Juju.
Yes.
PPR league, you get those. I mean, a lot of times it's going to be kind of what we saw today. What was it? 5 catches, 36 yards or something like that. So, I mean, that's kind of the patented Juju line all of a sudden. I guess there's value to it in a PPR league, but, you're hoping to do better.
Yeah, it's just ugly. It's really ugly to watch Steelers. Because, again, a Jets fan, I know ugly offenses. Ravens 19, Lions 17. Hollywood Brown. I mean, Hollywood Brown. This game could have been huge for Lamar Jackson. It could have been huge for Hollywood Brown. He has a terrible day. He dropped several big plays, multiple touchdown passes. He still winds up with 7 targets, 3 catches, 53 yards. Like, okay, doesn't kill you, but just bad. Mark Andrews, this was a game, I think, where everybody kind of saw this coming. This was probably going to be kind of his quote-unquote breakout game. 7 targets, 5 catches, 109 yards. And Lamar Jackson, again, unfair, 16 for 31, 287 with a touchdown and a pick. But he could have had 3 touchdown passes for sure. All of that, though, I feel like is window dressing, because what I want to talk about is the running back situation here. We've got Tyson Williams just 5 for 22, Latavius Murray 7 for 28 against the Lions, which everybody was excited about. So how do you feel generally about the Baltimore running backs?
Not good. And I thought Tyson Williams was going to be at least a low-end running back, too. That's kind of where I had him. And I think, a couple followers sort of asked me about that and thought I was too low on him at maybe running back 22 this week.
Yeah.
Turned out I wasn't low enough. I just felt like we had yet to see this situation cemented in place. And now we see that, not only is Tyson splitting carries pretty evenly with Latavius Murray, but we've got Devonta Freeman involved too. So it's messy right now. And plus, Lamar is going to call his own number rushing near the goal line a lot. Limited value to this running game, and I wouldn't really feel comfortable starting any of them.
I'm basically exactly where you are. I was just looking up where I had him ranked this week. I had him 21st, and I felt pretty good about it. And I was like, it's not going to be the monster crazy game just because he won't get enough of the workload to have that happen, but he's going to be solid. And this just sort of completely eliminates any faith that I had really in them. I would be remiss, obviously, if I didn't mention Justin Tucker and the game-winning field goal, which set the record for longest field goal, and hit the front of the crossbar and went in, and it was just glorious to watch. And I hope, again, I talk about this often, I hope, like me, you were watching it with your son, because I was watching in my son, and just watching him get super excited at crazy, weird football things like that is really the reason why I love sports. But amazing, Justin Tucker, fantastic. For the Lions, both running backs, again, produced. DeAndre Swift, 1447. And a touchdown on the ground, catches all 7 of his targets for 60 yards through the air. Jamal Williams, 12 for 42 and a touchdown on the ground. two targets, catches both of them for 25 yards. I feel like they're both just kind of locked in your lineup at this point. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, Swift for sure. I mean, Swift looked spectacular, and he gets those high-value touches. Like, those targets are going to be there for him every game. He gets, it seems like, a major, not every single green zone snap inside the 5 or 10, but most of them. So he is getting a lot of high-value touches. And, you know, I'm not quite as comfortable with Jamal every week, although I think he's flex worthy in most leagues. I think you're maybe hoping to do a little bit better with your RB2 or your flex spot than Jamal, but sure. You know, sometimes injuries don't allow for that. And, he's at least, he gets you something every week. You know, he's involved in the offense. He shows up. So, I don't know what the ceiling is, but, the floor is pretty good for him every week.
Yeah, I mean, and again, I mean, I think I ranked him RB34 this week. Like, what I'm saying, I feel like I'm talking to myself where I'm like, you have to do better now for Jamal Williams, right? That's what I mean. I agree, like, not RB2. I mean, I think that he's still just because, again, you're right, Swift is the guy. And there's, to be clear, I didn't mean to imply that they were, like, on the same level or anything like that. Like, it's clearly Swift and then a drop down to Jamal Williams. But I do think that Williams just needs to be in your lineup at this point every week as a flex. Without question. A disappointing day for TJ Hockenson here. Just two targets, two catches, 10 yards. I don't know if there's anything to talk about. Just a bad day for him.
Yeah. His first one. I mean, he'd been terrific the first two games. So, hopefully just it was a weird passing day for the Lions, Dan. I mean, you're going to run over the numbers, but not what we would have expected. And I think it just kind of underscores that you can't trust any of the Lions receivers right now.
You're not trusting Khalif Raymond? With 10 targets, 6 catches, 68 yards?
No. Okay. It was too bad. I was getting ready to trust my guy from Wisconsin, Quintez Cephas, but then one target today. So
yeah. So it's just you. I feel like we know what to do with the Lions, even with a bad game from Hockenson here. You certainly start Swift. You certainly start Hockenson, and you start Williams as a flex, and you don't worry about anybody else, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. The most exciting game of the day, Broncos 26, Jets nothing. This played out kind of really like I thought it was going to play out, which is, I know a lot of people were excited about Teddy Bridgewater, and I just said, I don't know whether or not the volume is going to be there because they're probably not going to need to pass a lot. And that's kind of what happened. It's a lot of the running game here. Melvin Gordon, 18 for 61 with the touchdown on the ground. He adds 21 yards through the air. Javonte Williams, only 12 for 29. He does have a touchdown on the ground. He also loses a a fumble right at the goal line. And he does have 33 yards through the air. So what about these guys? I mean, we talked about the two running backs with the Lions. Are basically both these guys, you know, lower than Swift, but higher than Jamal Williams?
Yes, that's exactly where I'd put it. And, I saw it again. I saw people tweeting early on when Javonte had a couple nice runs and looked good on the first couple series. I think this is the Javonte claims the backfield week. And, then no, he fumbles. Gordon scores a touchdown. Gordon looks good. Like, you're not getting rid of Melvin Gordon that easily. Nope. Like, he's a good football player, and, it's just, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, if at all, this season.
Yeah, I talked about it a lot in the draft, which is, it's really hard for a rookie running back to unseat a guy like Melvin Gordon, who is not, irrelevant. I mean, a fine year last year. It's not like he's not what he was in his prime, but still, he's totally fine. It's very difficult for a rookie to come in absent injury and completely unseat him. So I know fantasy managers want it to happen, but I agree. It's not going to happen, especially not yet. Again, the passing game, they don't need to do much. Tim Patrick, 5 for targets, 5 catches, 98 yards. Cortland Sutton, quiet, also 5 targets, 5 catches, 37 yards. Anything to discuss or just like, whatever, man, they didn't need to throw, no big deal.
Yeah, I think you're still starting Sutton most weeks. And, Patrick is usable depending on the situation. Like, he looked really good today. And I, I'm always guilty of underestimating that guy, but he is a good player.
Yeah, you're not alone. I think most people underestimate him. And I don't rank him probably as high as I should, generally speaking, just, because it's rare that he has the dominant, that huge game or anything like that. But he's quality. And again, if you are struggling at wide receiver and you just need someone to give you some points, he is there. For the Jets, I think the easiest way to say it is the best player from the Jets from a fantasy standpoint today was Corey Davis, who caught 5 passes for 41 yards. Elijah Moore left with a concussion. They have the Titans next, so, I mean, that's obviously a better defense, but I mean, I guess you still roster Corey Davis, but is there a reason to roster him or anyone else?
That's about it. And I think you can play Corey Davis most weeks. Like, I think, especially if Elijah Moore misses a week or two, you know, Davis is going to get pretty consistent targets. And, you know, I don't know what a Zach Wilson target is worth these days, but yeah, I mean, he's playable and he's the only Jet right now.
I will probably recommend him as like a low end wide receiver three against the Titans. And again, Broncos, a very tough match in Denver, very tough matchup, but still just pretty ugly. Not as ugly were the Raiders 31, Dolphins 28 in overtime, but Peyton Barber, all right, 23 carries, 111 yards and a touchdown. By the way, that's not enough. Let us add in 5 targets, 3 catches for 31 yards. This was also a trust or bust candidate, by the way. Kenyon Drake, only 8 for 24 on the ground, 6 targets, 3 catches, 33 yards through the air. Josh Jacobs, obviously out for this one. If he is out next week against the Chargers, where are you going to have the running backs ranked here for the Raiders?
And I was just talking about how weak the Chargers' run defense has been. I mean, I might have to have Barber like top 20. It's just inconceivable, Dan. I know. Like, fantasy football is so strange, man. It really is.
I think
is.
It's stupid. I think what the way Tags and I would say is, this is stupid, man. This is so stupid. That's just how we are. Yeah, like what? I don't even know what you do with this. I mean, do you think that this is, they won and they scored 31 points? Do you think this is what we'll see again if Jacobs is out?
Yeah, I mean, they've got their role for Drake. Like, they want Drake to be the third down guy, and they don't, even with Josh Jacobs out, they don't expand his role. They just insert someone else into the Jacobs role, and it's Barber. And, you know, Barber, I guess, can be the proxy for that sort of between the tackles sledgehammer that Jacobs has been. And that's how Gruden likes to use Jacobs. It's how, you know, he can use Barber. And next week, it actually sets up pretty well for that kind of a player.
This is disgusting, but you're right. And I hate that you're right. But it's true. When I was watching this, like, what is happening? Right. You know, it just makes no sense. But yeah, it does. And again, we'll see about Jacobs here. But if he's out, I agree, it does set up like a Peyton Barber game. Meanwhile, all the receivers, just they all contribute. Brian Edwards, 5 targets, 3 catches, 89 yards. Henry Ruggs, 7 targets, 4 catches, 78 yards. Hunter Renfrow, 6 targets, 5 catches, 77 yards and the touchdown. I mean, can we start all three of these guys here, Pat?
I think I'm to the point where I'm willing to start Ruggs just about any week. I mean, he had a sideline catch that was among the best catches I've seen so far this season, where he just high pointed it, somehow got his feet down in bounds. I'm not quite as confident in Edwards, even though the numbers keep showing up. It seems like he always kind of makes his hay like late in games to get there with the numbers. But I just trust Ruggs a little bit more. Just think he's got a little more big play potential, even though we did see a long Edwards over the shoulder catch today. That was really nice. You know, and Renfro's got his PPR value. I mean, guy who maybe ideally you're not starting, but in a pinch, you don't mind if injuries and buys have you up against the ropes.
Yeah, I think he's rosterable for sure. I think all three of them are, because you can start them in a pinch for sure. Especially, look, there are injuries. There's the AJ Brown injury. You're going to need in deeper leagues, certainly, guys who can just fill in. And I do think they're getting it. And again, Darren Waller at this point, you know, we saw all the targets week one, but, you know, now the last couple of games, this was 7 targets, 5 catches, 54 yards. There'll be better days for Darren Waller, of course, but all of these guys can contribute right now, and the Raiders offense is utilizing all of them. So I do think that they're all rosterable for sure. For the Dolphins, Myles Gaskin, 13 for 65 on the ground, 6 targets, 3 catches, 9 yards through the air. Malcolm Brown and Jacoby Brissett take the rushing touchdowns. Myles Gaskin, just kind of a low-end RB2-ish going forward.
Yeah, I think that's where he is.
Yeah, there's no upside is the problem. But I do, you know, there's value in those points. Even I know it's not exciting, but again, especially in half PPR, full PPR, it certainly adds value. Jaylen Waddle, meanwhile, the targets are there right now for people. Jaylen Waddle, 13 targets and 12 catches, unless I have that wrong in my notes, 58 yards. Mike Gesicki, 12 targets, 10 catches, 86 yards. Devontae Parker, 7 targets, 4 catches, 42 yards. Will Fuller, 3 catches, 20 yards. Leaves at the end of the game a little banged up. So, I mean, Waddle, obviously the targets were there. Are you still starting him regularly, even though it didn't amount to much here?
Not necessarily. Low average depth of target, which, I don't know, for a guy with his speed, it just seems kind of unusual. I mean, one of those targets was a pass, like a little quick right. shot play wide from their own 1 yard line where he had a guy just collapse on him right away for a safety. Yes. Kind of a strange play.
That's a strange play call, to be fair.
Read by Brissett.
Oh God, yeah. That
was yeah. So I don't know what to make of Waddle yet. Like, I can't get a read on what their plan is for him. And now with Fuller back and you know, maybe taking some of those vertical targets, I'm a little bit worried about how it's gonna play out for Waddle. I mean, I guess that target count, you're never complaining about that many targets in a game, but it was just kind of a weird day for him. And, you know, I very hard guy to get a read on.
Yeah, I will look up where I had him ranked rest of season, but I've kind of been starting to worry a little bit. Yeah, I had him. Oh, actually, you had him way lower than I did, Pat, coming in. 40s. You had him 40th. Yeah, you had him 40th coming in. I had him 33. I'm definitely dropping him closer to where you are. Again, the targets are great, but those targets are not worth much if that's what it's going to look like. Right. So I think you were right. That would have been I'm confused by your opinions here for me in this one, but thankfully I am the host. Rams 34, Bucks 24. Matthew Stafford throws for 343 yards and 4 touchdowns. Looks great. 2 of them go to this guy I hadn't heard of before named Cooper Kupp. 12 targets, 9 catches, 96 yards. This is ridiculous what we're seeing right now from Kupp. One of them goes to DeSean Jackson, who catches a 75-yarder where just there were no defenders around him whatsoever. He winds up with 3 catches for 120 yards. And one to Tyler Higbee, who we talked about moving up probably past Kyle Pitts here, bounces back, catches all 5 of his targets for 40 yards and a touchdown. But can we talk about Robert Woods here? This is another disappointing day for him. 6 targets, 3 catches, 33 yards. He has a 5-yard run, as he always has a run. But 11 receptions on 19 targets, 124 yards so far this season. We were concerned last week. Are you like crazy concerned right now?
No, because I think this really set up as a Cooper Kupp game. When the Buccaneers lost Sean Murphy Bunting last week, their slot corner, who probably was already the guy that was the weak link in that secondary. But then they've got Ross Cockrell as their slot corner now, and he is just no match for Kupp. And the Rams exploited that matchup today, and we kind of figured that was going to be the case, and it was. So I think it was kind of destined to be a lower volume day for Robert Woods. Not too worried about him going forward. I think he's going to have his days where he shows up as usual. And, you know, they still like to get him involved in the running game. So he's got that as kind of a value add. You know, maybe it is Kupp clearly taking the lead as the go-to guy in that offense. Fine. But I still think Woods has, you know, mid to low end wide receiver 2 value at worst. Like, I think he's going to be... Maybe I shouldn't say at worst, but I think mid to low end wide receiver 2 value is still going to be there for him the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, we were with him basically. I think you had him 23rd. I'm 22nd rest of season.
Yeah,
that still feels about right to me, but I can see dropping him to the point where he would technically be a wide receiver 3. Just again, I'm waiting and I'm patient with guys after my preseason evaluation, but still, this is really something where it's just... It looks like Kupp, and this is real, and it's hard to doubt what it is. Meanwhile, Sony Michel fills in very well, 20 for 67 on the ground, 4 targets, 3 catches, 12 yards through the air. Again, against the Bucs, you will take that any day of the week for a guy like Sony Michel. Arizona up next, so we'll see what happens with Darrell Henderson. For the Bucs, Brady throws for 432 yards with the touchdown. The touchdown goes to Giovanni Bernard, 10 targets, 9 catches, 51 yards. The rare negative game script here for the Bucs. Your leading rusher on the day is... Tom Brady with 14 yards rushing. He does get the score. Leonard Fournette does have 3 catches for 26 yards. Ronald Jones just 5 carries for 11 yards. Is there any reason to roster Ronald Jones at this point?
No. No. Agreed. And I don't think you can start any Buccaneers back right now.
Yep. Yep. Did you rank Fournette as a starter this week, Pat? Do you remember?
I did not. I had him out of start. I think I had him... I was pretty far below ECR on Fournette. Like, I just don't trust any of the backs here.
Yeah, I erred in that, especially when they said he was going to be the starter. I think I had him 23rd. I don't know where ECR was, but I think I had him 23rd. So, yeah, I think it's time to change my opinion on the Bucs. Certainly, I agree, though. Ronald Jones, totally droppable. And Fournette, I don't know. I mean, you know, I could see a day where I would have to start him, but I don't want to if I can avoid it. Meanwhile, Mike Evans, 10 targets, 8 catches, 106 yards. Chris Godwin, 7 targets, 6 catches, 74 yards. He does find the end zone on the quote-unquote run. Rob Gronkowski, 7 targets, 4 catches for 55 yards. He left briefly after a big hit, but then came back. I mean, you had no Antonio Brown here, so anything to take away really here from the Bucs wide receivers?
Not really. A little bit of a long-term concern about Mike Evans. I just don't think, his game with the no run after the catch, everything is always air yards. I don't think that, I don't know, it might not work as well with Brady as it did with Jameis Winston. So you're still playing him every week, but I think you're going to see some week-to-week inconsistency from Evans and a lot of TD dependency.
Yeah, that's what we know of them. Vikings 30, Seahawks 17, no Dalvin Cook. So Alexander Mattison shines good. He kind of, you know, gets rid of the taste that we had from last year when he took over for Dalvin Cook and didn't produce. 26 for 112 on the ground, 8 targets, 6 catches, 59 yards through the air. Now, it doesn't sound from what the broadcast was saying and just from what I was reading that Cook was particularly close to playing in this game. Like, this was not a, hey, let's see how you're doing. This was a, I'm not going to be able to make it. So I think next week is very much in question. If he's out, is Madison an RB1 against the Browns?
Against the Browns, maybe high-end RB2.
Okay. I'll take it.
Yeah, I think I'll probably have him around 13, 14.
Okay. I think that's fair. Yeah, I mean, I feel like 11, 12 strikes me, but sure. That is basically not all that much difference. I'm just trying to be cooler than you. But yes. I think that's probably about right. This was impressive. He looked great. The Vikings look great. Kirk Cousins, I mean, their offense, again, Kirk Cousins continues to play extremely well, 323 yards and 3 touchdowns, 1 each to Adam Thielen and Pat. I look forward to like 5 years from now where we're like, you know, I don't know. Thielen seems pretty touchdown dependent at this point. I'm getting a little nervous about his long-term outlook because it's just what he does. Doesn't really matter. 9 targets, 6 catches, and 50 yards with the score. One also goes to Tyler Conklin, a guy you can look at in deeper leagues. 8 targets, 7 catches, 70 yards in the score. And one to Justin Jefferson, finally bounces back out of his funk, if we were to call it that. 11 targets, 9 catches, 118 yards, and a touchdown. KJ Osborne comes down to earth a little bit. Only 2 targets, catches both of them for 26 yards. Any thoughts here on the Vikings passing game, or not really?
Conklin is a worthwhile pickup this week. I think if you need tight end help, and Dan Thielen almost had a second touchdown too. A little slant where he got tackled at about the 1.5 yard line late in the game. Like almost got in for a second TD.
That's right. That's right. Darn. I just want all the touchdowns. I want like 18 touchdowns this year, and we can just talk about, you know, it seems fluky, man. I can't rely on this, but whatever. I don't care. Russell Wilson, meanwhile, for the Seahawks looks great. Doesn't look great. Sorry. 298 yards and a touchdown. Not terrible, but just doesn't have a lot of fantasy production here. The touchdown goes to DK Metcalf, 9 targets, 6 catches, 170 yards. Tyler Lockett, 4 targets, catches all of them for 31 yards. He had that twisted knee, looked bad. Everybody was huddled around, but apparently he's fine and he came back into the game after that. But I mean, besides that, you know, this is what we worry about with Lockett. We saw it last year. We'd have huge games followed by like really, really quiet games. Are you concerned that this is going to be the case, or do we think that like this is just a one-off and he can overcome that in the new offense?
Yeah, kind of one-off. I just think there are going to be days where it's Lockett days and Metcalf days.
Okay.
And, you know, the occasional day where the other guy just sort of blanks a little bit.
Okay. And Chris Carson here, 12 for 80 with the touchdown on the ground. 2 targets, catches both of them for 2 yards through the air. Wish there was more of that. But I did see that he was a little banged up in this game. He was monitoring a hamstring injury in the second half, which I didn't realize while I was watching it necessarily as I was flipping back and forth a little bit. So just monitor that, obviously, when we go into the waiver wires. But we will talk about that more on the waiver wire show for the podcast, which Pat and I will both be on this week. So you're going to have that. All right. Pat, well done. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you to Pristine Auction. Remember, thousands of auctions every single day. 1 million AJ Green items up there, so go ahead and buy one. Just go to pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And again, use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field. That'll be $5 off. Also, thank you to DraftKings, the official daily fantasy sponsor of the NFL. Get your free shot at millions of dollars in prizes when you use the code FANTASYPROS with your first deposit. I hope everyone had a wonderful day of football. We'll talk to you again tomorrow in the Waiver Wire Show.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.